This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Rick Durden reporting for AvWeb at AirVenture 2014. And today, we're privileged to have a chance to sit down and talk with Earl Wiener, a member of the board of the National Transportation Safety Board. Earl has extensive background in aviation and flew professionally before he came to work for the NTSB. Earl, I'm going to hand you the phone and welcome you to hand you the microphone and welcome you to AvWeb.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I've been on the NTSB board for a little over 4 years. Prior to that, I worked as a foundation fellow for the Flight Safety Foundation, doing safety activities, industry government sort of activities. And I did 24 years at the Boeing Company and had the privilege of being involved in the first glass cockpits, the 767-757 cockpit development.
I understand that you attended the University of Michigan for your various degrees, and while you were there, you were flying professionally.
Well, I worked my way through college in part through flight instructing. So I've actually had an instructor rating for about 48 years now, but that wouldn't belie how old I am.
Well, now as a member of the NTSB, could you tell us a little bit about what's involved in being a board member and issues that you feel are important going forward as a board member of the NTSB?
Well, just a little bit of background. The NTSB is a relatively small agency by government standards. We're about 400 staff and five presidentially appointed board members. But we cover all modes of transportation, aviation being one of those modes. But we do rail, marine, highway, and pipelines. But by statute, we're required to determine a probable cause of all aviation accidents. And for that, we've got a fairly large staff. The biggest portion of any of the staffs at the NTSB is the aviation safety staff. They investigate about 1,500 accidents a year to determine a probable cause. So general aviation accidents are really a very important aspect of the board's role.
Right, and one of the issues that we face with general aviation accidents is that the limitations of resources, many of the accidents are investigated by the FAA rather than the NTSB. Is that correct?
In some cases, we delegate the on-scene aspect of the investigation to the FAA. The FAA is generally always a party to the investigations in any case. But it is the responsibility of the NTSB to determine a probable cause.
And what projects are you looking at going forward in the aviation industry to increase safety?
Well, the NTSB doesn't own, so to speak, any regulations or own any policy. Everything we do is by basically advocacy, writing reports and so developing safety recommendations and so forth. One of our tools is a most wanted list. At the current time, there are 10 items on a most wanted list. For the last 3 years, general aviation has been on our most wanted list. This year, it's on the most wanted list again. But in particular, we're focusing on communication and identification of hazardous weather. The most wanted list is a major advocacy tool for us.
Before we started the interview, we were chatting about the JSC and CAST. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what those are?
Well, CAST is a very important activity. It's a commercial aviation safety team. It's been in existence for approximately 15 years. Its focus has been on the air carrier side. But the point of talking about it is it's a government industry activity that is consensus-driven, data-driven, and has really been responsible for the huge reduction in accident risk for commercial transports in the U.S. We are using that same process for general aviation accidents. So you see government and industry working together to reduce the number of general aviation accidents.
And as we get to general aviation accidents, I'd like to think of some more specific things. What are your thoughts on restraint systems, which is one of the important things in protecting occupants in an accident, going forward for production airplanes and potentially for retrofitting airplanes in the field?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. Agency, the NTSB, did a study about 3 years ago of restraint systems to look particularly at the airbag systems and found that airbags indeed do reduce the injuries, improve the survivability. But it's also interesting to look at the data, and you find that you have a bigger change for retrofit or for existing aircraft by making certain that you have a shoulder harness system. The shoulder harness addition gives you the biggest safety increment of any aspect of the restraint systems. So if you don't have shoulder harnesses, put them in.
All right, and one other item that we kicked around a little bit, do you have any thoughts? Currently, a pilot can get an instrument rating and never have flown in the clouds. Any thoughts on whether the NTSB might recommend to the FAA that this change, that a pilot actually have actual IFR before getting an instrument rating?
Well, we find in a number of cases in the accident investigations we see in loss of control particularly, very low-time instrument pilots who've got an instrument rating but may have just a handful of hours of actual time. I think it's really important in the training process, in the process of getting an instrument ticket, that one, in fact, gets experience in the clouds. It's much different being in the IMC conditions than having a hood or a vision restraint system. So as much realism as possible during the instructional process, I think, is very important.
All right, and I want to thank Earl Wiener very much for appearing on AvWeb and talking with us today. This is Rick Durden reporting for AvWeb from AirVenture 2014 in Oshkosh.